On the next Pedal the Springs podcast, we're talking about the future of cycling. It's happening in classrooms. Coming up next, we're sitting down with a locally based company that's taking bike mechanics into high schools across the country and turning it into an elective just like wood shop or auto shop.
This is a Studio 809 podcast. Engage.
Welcome and roll on in to the Pedal the Springs podcast, where we banter about all things biking in the Pikes Peak region. I'm your host, Tori Giffen, and what I don't know about biking in this area, my friends do. And here are today's guests. We have the executive director of Project Bike Tech, Jeff Donaldson. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks, Tori. It's nice to be here.
It's so great to have you here. And we have the development director, Taryn Kemp from Project Bike Tech. Welcome, Taryn.
Thanks, Tori. I'm really excited.
I am so excited because we've done something at the Lodge this year that we have never done before. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary in business this summer, and we decided to go big with a local nonprofit. And for the first time ever, we've partnered with Project Bike Tech, a national nonprofit, to help raise funds to help spread bike mechanics into classrooms across the country. And we're going to be asking every guest that shows up at our door all year long if they would like to partner with us in this and donate as well. And I just couldn't be more excited, Jeff.
It's such an honor, Tori. I really appreciate the opportunity to be more involved with Buffalo Lodge, and happy anniversary to you. 10 years is super exciting, and we're extremely excited as well.
You know, I've seen this at grocery stores and things like that, you know, where they're like, would you like to make a donation to? And I just knew that for the need that your nonprofit has, I mean, that's a pretty big task, spreading, you know, a brand new elective into high schools across the country, that although you're based here, that that's a pretty big undertaking. And you need some people to step up in a big way. And, you know, we've never been able to raise anything through our like free concert series where we have people donate to a local nonprofit instead of paying an admission. You know, we've never been able to raise much more than a couple $1,000s, but we're hoping to raise tens of thousands this year for Project Bike Tech, and also just create awareness with our guests that are coming from all over the country and the world of the program, because that's just as powerful as raising the money is creating awareness. And we hope to show up in a big way and get other people to join us.
And it's so meaningful to us. We are a nationally scaled nonprofit. We're operating right now in 15 states plus two really great schools in Washington, D.C. as well. And just our goal is to grow exponentially beyond this in the next 3 to 5 years. And all the contributions help just get us moving forward and framed up and scaled the right way so that we can continue infinitely for, you know, till the end of time, bringing our program into high schools.
I just love it because, you know, I mean, this is the future of cycling. I mean, you are spreading the joy of cycling. It's just like, I took wood shop and I've never made a bowl since. You don't have to want to become a carpenter to take wood shop or an auto mechanic to learn basic auto mechanics, but it's very helpful knowledge, especially the auto mechanics. And to be able to teach bike mechanics in school and be able to, like, I would have loved to have had that knowledge, because I still go find a friend to help me fix a flat.
Right. Well, and everybody I talk to about it who's not heard of the program, they give me almost the same response every time, which is, where was this when I was in high school?
Right.
I think the same thing. It is, from an industry point of view, it really does build participation in a great new way. It breaks down barriers, the sort of apprehension people may have on riding their bike. You give them a few skills and they're going to be more comfortable and more confident riding. Introduces kids to sort of lifetime great cycling habits, and just, I believe that over the next 10 years our numbers are just going to boost because we've got more young people involved and coming out more confidently into the cycling world, whether they work in it or not. They will always be a participant and always be more familiar with the, you know, what's going on in the world of cycling.
So this does not surprise me that you are the executive director of this organization, because we first met a few years ago, or several years ago, when you were the executive director of QBP and the executive director, not executive director of QBP, of the U of Q,
correct.
Formerly the Barnett Bicycle Institute. And so like teaching and a passion for teaching bikes is in your blood.
It is. And that really kind of changed when I was hired at Barnett Bicycle Institute, where I wanted to participate more in building the trade in a more healthy way and trying to set paths for the next generation of people that are going to work, you know, in the bicycle industry. We're in some ways a very young industry and figuring a lot of things out as we go. We've had some incredible challenges with COVID being one of the most recent ones, and sort of the people-based and the economic-based impacts that's had. There's a lot of navigation that needs to happen, and I'm trying to help as best as I can, moving from an adult education framework to a youth education framework has been really interesting. And I like to say that our teachers are the ones that really are the superstars here. They know how to manage classrooms of teenagers. I have no idea what I'm doing with teenagers yet. But
you don't have teenagers yet.
Right. But what I think I can bring to this is training teachers effectively on how to train mechanics and then let the teachers translate that into like the teenage mind and the teenage culture, where they're extremely capable. So it's a really neat sort of a symbiosis and working relationships we have in now 51 schools around the country. So
how many years have you been able to get credit in those schools for bike mechanics?
Project Bike Tech has been working at this level for about 17 years.
Okay.
So we started in 2007 in Santa Cruz, California, as a pretty small organization, but really focused and started up the right way to start as a 4-credit class. From there, we built proficiency in the career technical education field. So that's what we used to call voc ed when you and I were in high school. But career technical education has some new energy and really new purpose and intentionality to it. We grew out of the Santa Cruz space and relocated to Colorado in 2018 as an organization. And from there, we really started expanding throughout the country rapidly, always as a 4-credit class, always capable of being that CTE aligned class program, and where schools don't have CTE capability, they use us in, you know, elective capacity or as a STEM or STEAM, however you choose to look at it, capacity, where we can really enhance the math and science and engineering and arts element of what the school's priorities are. So, but it always is a 4-credit thing, so students get to go to class and this is what they do. So
who is the we? Is like, isn't there a woman behind the whole thing that started it?
Yes.
Am I wrong or right?
You are not wrong. Barry Michelle is our founder, and it was really largely her vision, with the help of some really important friends back in 2007, 2008, that got the whole thing started, learned how to work within the educational system. We grew out of that sort of, you know, Santa Cruz nugget, and Mercedes Ross was the executive director for about 10 years when they started scaling and really wanted to bring in some new ideas and new energy. They hired me to come in and start applying my vision, I guess. But that's where we've been for the last little over 2 years. As I've been with the organization.
So what was her background and why?
Barry Michelle just has a passion for this, and she really wanted to create workforce opportunities in the bicycle industry. Her backstory is that she was involved as an owner or a part owner of a bike shop in Santa Cruz, California, and really recognized pretty quickly the need for qualified workforce. It's really hard sometimes to hire mechanics and people that can be, you know, highly employable, that know what they're doing, that are trainable. And she wanted to create a solution for that problem. simultaneously looking into what do young people need and what kind of guidance and inspiration do they need as they're going through their high school careers. And the two really lined up for her. So she put in an awful lot of energy, awful lot of effort, and a significant, you know, financial contribution as well. And so it really created the magic sauce for what Project Bike Tech is becoming now at the founder level.
That's so exciting. I mean, it's amazing what one person can do, and
right.
you know, and then a group of passionate people can do to really change the world.
Yeah. And I'll say Barry's energy is truly present with us. I mean, she's very, very involved in what we do. She inspires, and she checks in, and we're, you know, she is not like decided to go sit on a beach somewhere at this point. She's definitely really interested and involved in seeing Project Bike Tech move forward.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So what does that look like? You are based out of Colorado Springs now, and I imagine you work even closer with the local school, or about the same? Or
we have a relationship since before I started with the Tesla Opportunity School. It's a high school here in District 11. That school is a really cool example of what we do. It acts as a magnet program in District 11. So not only the students that attend that school go to the Project Bike Tech classes, but it's open to any high school student in Colorado Springs. To the extent that I believe D11 will even, you know, provide transportation to get there and really help facilitate students getting back and forth between the high schools.
That's amazing. How successful has the program been here in Colorado Springs?
It's been great, honestly. I'd really like to give a shout out to the teacher, Rob Hampton. He has been an incredible teacher for us. Incidentally, he was a student that came through Barnett Bicycle Institute
really?
While I was there, and in preparation for what he was taking on. He began the class in 2021, and has since really, really grown it. I believe Taryn looked up some numbers of the class today to make sure we were sharp. And I believe it was 84 students have come through the programs in a few years, and that's just been incredible. He's managed to build some great community engagement as well, and his students love to get out and, you know, do internships over at the pedal station or participate with Kids on Bikes bike library projects. Last year, we coordinated a little effort with my kids' elementary school, where they have a Kids on Bikes bike library. And the Tesla school students came over in the spring and repaired all the bicycles in the bike library. And it was just a really, really great sort of community engagement effort that they were working on as well. So we'll do it again this year. And it's so much energy and engagement coming out of that classroom. I just feel like needs an incredible shout out. And that's one story out of 51. Like, we've got a really great set of stories everywhere, which Taryn's really doing a great job of highlighting for us now, is being in touch with other schools all over the country and what they do and kind of how they find those, you know, special community relationships as well.
So this was a big moment for the company finding Taryn, right?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Taryn, hi.
Hi.
I got to meet you earlier this year when we decided to partner up, and I know Jeff was just so excited because what you brought to the table and this space. I would love to know a little bit more about how you came to Project Bike Tech, what you're tasked to do, but like you've done some pretty impressive things that, you know, that got them very excited to bring you on the team.
Yes. Well, thank you, Tori. No, I'm very excited to be part of the Project Bike Tech team. I got my start by actually helping launch a campaign for a World War II Japanese internment camp to become a national park. We launched that in 2016, and it was signed as a national park in 2022.
That's amazing.
So just a very incredible part of history that we get to highlight. After that, I've worked at a child abuse nonprofit nonprofit. I've worked at the Air Force Academy Foundation. And then I finally made my way to Project Bike Tech. I would say what motivated me to get here is I am a daughter of two lifelong educators. And I think that education is the most important thing that we can give our youth. And I also recognize that that looks differently. There are kids that learn with their hands. There are kids that learn from books. And there are kids that just want to know what they're going to do for work and specialize in it. And I think we hit all of those areas. But the most important thing that I love about Project Bike Tech is we are setting our students up with a resume, a portfolio, and a cover letter before they graduate our class. That way, regardless of what they want to do, if they want to apply for scholarships or if they want to go directly into the workforce, they are forces to be reckoned with. Like, they have all of the training that they need, really good skills, and then skills that most students learn in college, they already have them.
That's amazing. So how big is this undertaking? What is the task at hand to try and grow this to other schools?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge. I love it. We are working on scaling our fundraising so we can actually support schools who don't have the full amount to bring us on. As we know, education funding changes all the time, unfortunately. And so we are really working on a solution to be able to help bring our program into schools at minimal cost, but yet have them be sustaining programs. So that's one of the things that we're doing. The biggest thing that I work on usually is partnerships. How do I get our students internships, jobs right out of the workforce? How are we opening those workforce pathways to them? And how are we doing that effectively where we can still track their metrics and make sure that they're happy as they go along their career journeys? So I think, yeah, with all of those things being said, I am building out our development program from the ground up. That means individual donors, corporate donors, sponsorships, foundations, grants. If you can think that it's in fundraising, I'm doing it. But I love it. It has been one of the most rewarding pieces of work that I've had. I get to hear from our students all the time how much they just love our program and how they learn to critically think and problem solve. And I think that's what gives me just the most joy out of it is we have students every day that are graduating that feel more confident and more ready to enter the workforce or go into post-graduation education. So I just love that. I love empowering today's youth.
And so you get to actually hear and tell their stories.
Yes.
As part of your job. And so is there a particular story that like stands out to you?
Oh, man, I think there's a ton of them. In general, I really like just what some of our schools have done to give back as volunteer projects. So we have had anywhere from schools that dedicate their second semester to fixing up bikes for the community, with one of their goals being 100 bikes this year in the second semester, which is huge. We have had classrooms fix up bikes to give back to refugees to help their local community. Like Jeff mentioned, we have them that they go and fix up like kid youth riding programs. And so I don't know. I think that those are just my favorite, where kids are getting volunteer opportunities. They get to give back to their community. And it's just so important to learn how to help your community thrive while you thrive as well.
Do you have any super significant partners already that you would want to give a shout out to for how they've stepped up for the organization?
Absolutely. We have had some great industry support from Shimano and Giant, Park Tools, Trek.
Yeah, I mean, so throughout the years, it's been quite a bit of I would say change of, you know, who can support us over year to year. But you named the big ones that have been there every single year for us. Shimano, Park Tool, and Giant have been steady, like very, very high level supporters for us. We've received support from Haro, from United Wheel Company, from smaller, you know, companies. We've gotten Yeti has been a supporter of us in the past. It's a laundry list, but yeah, I'd say you've highlighted the biggest and most durable relationships that we've had. We were really honored this year. SRAM came on board with a major show of support for us, where we got to work in collaboration with them, Specialized Bicycles, Trek, and
Wheel
Giant
Fun,
and Shimano, and another nonprofit in Arizona called Wheel Fun, to open up a really cool collaborative project in Arizona, which is about to be announced at the Bicycle Leadership Conference. A lot of those things have just really materialized nicely for us, and a great show of industry support.
So exciting. Yeah. So who is your target now? I mean, like, you know, who are you hoping starts to step up, or who are you looking to reach out to?
Yeah, I would love to have people who are within the industry really reach out and support our kids. The more businesses and retailers that we have interacting with our classrooms, the more pathways are opened up, because they get direct access to those students to start building relationships and really forming solid career pathways that they can take. I think in general, we're also trying to break out of our industry alone. I mean, bike tech is much more than just, or right. Project Bike Tech is much more than just a bike tech course. It is helping students explore careers early, and they can explore careers in any adjacent field. I mean, we teach them transferable skills that are going to aviation, automotive, marine, HVAC. We are just bringing on a partner that's going to help us with art installations. So that will be a new path that our students can take, mm-hmm. where they do these giant art installation projects like Meow Wolf for the Wonder exhibits. I think that that is just a really cool path. I mean, I definitely didn't know that was an opportunity in high
meow
school.
Wolf?
Yes. But that's what the art installation exhibit is. We're working with a traveling exhibit right now that we're going to kind of see our students get involved in. And it's going to open those pathways into the textile industry, where they're able to install these giant art pieces. And that is amazing that they learned to do that because they took a bicycle mechanic course.
Yeah, and I just really like to sort of highlight that part of things, where I go back and I learned how to work on a bike when I was, I don't know, five. My dad used to, I might have told this story on the last time I was on this podcast, but my dad used to pick up bicycles from the local police auctions that had just been abandoned, and we'd tinker on them together in the garage when I was little.
Wow.
And then, you know, we did that for years and years. And then when I was in high school, I got a part-time job at a bike shop and learned how to do everything right. but that interest really built more of sort of a mechanical mindset. And what that means is the transferable skills that Taryn's talking about. You can take a lot of what you learn with a bicycle, and not even at a technological level, but just at a proficiency level. You apply it to different things. You learn righty tighty, lefty loosey, and suddenly you can turn a wrench on anything. You learn how to strike something correctly with a hammer, or measure something correctly with a ruler or a set of calipers, and those skills will follow you, and you can do quite a bit with them and cross apply it into other industries. The real feature in this story that I love, that it. Within my first, I think it was 2 months into starting at Project Bike Tech, I was over on the East Coast visiting some of our schools in New Hampshire and Vermont. One of our schools was having an open house, and the student in the Project Bike Tech class was at the door welcoming, you know, the parents and everybody who was visiting in. And I just was having a little chat with him and said, you know, how do you like the class? And he says, yeah, it's my favorite class. And I said, well, that's great. You know, what makes it your favorite class? And he goes, it made my life better. And I went, oh, my gosh, like, you got to say more than that. And he said, I learned how to solve problems in this class. So this guy had learned, you know, how to work on a bike mechanically, and then like really zoomed out into how this applies to the rest of his life as a, you know, 17-year-old kid. It made his life better. He can solve problems now. And he said, you know, I learned how to solve problems procedurally with this class. And now, like, if I have a problem with my sister, I solve it with, you know, procedurally. And if I have a problem like with other classes in school, I know how to solve it better. And I'm much more comfortable as, you know, as a person. And I could see like this was really helping him navigate his life. And so that was a real moment for me where I was like, all right, we're sticking with this. You know, this is really cool stuff. And thinking about bike mechanics in a way that I don't often think about. And now I do every day.
So you mentioned the teacher here in Colorado Springs, but what is the teacher recruitment like? Is it challenging to find the teachers to teach us? Is it easy? What is that process that a teacher would go through?
So, I mean, I think that's a two-sided coin for us. It is one of sort of like the three main challenges that we face when we go out and we recruit new schools and we get into conversations with them. Is there a teacher that's interested and
who's already teaching there
and available? Not necessarily, you know, already teaching there, but is there somebody who can go teach in the school or who is already teaching in the school who can, you know, move into teaching the Project Bike Tech class? We don't ask our teachers to have significant experience in the bike industry. We want them to be inspired and we want them to be capable. One of the things that we do is we run a teacher training class, which we used to do through Barnett's and then U of Q. Now we do it on our own. And the last couple of years we've done it here. It's hosted by the Tesla School. And our new teachers will come in and stay at the Buffalo Lodge. And then they have a really great time over the week learning really not as much how to be a mechanic, although we cover quite a bit of that ground, but how to teach mechanics. So we kind of break the tasks down into how to procedurally teach mechanical tasks in a classroom. We have a person on our team named Paul Stuckey, who is a retired Project Bike Tech teacher. He was a math teacher in his career, and he has just really enthusiastically joined our team and is part of that teacher training process, as well as available to all of our teachers throughout the year to help them, you know, navigate through our curriculum. And if they run into things they're not familiar with, then he can help them move through it, you know, really smoothly. Brass tacks is we feel really confident that we can bring a teacher on board and help them learn how to teach mechanics in a classroom. The thing that I say, you know, we want to leave to the teachers is that how do you manage a class full of, you know, teenagers? We want the teachers to bring their sort of methodology and their special sauce into that. So we have a few exceptions where mechanically inclined or bike industry people have moved into teacher roles, but we really like seeing teachers move into the bike role.
So are there any numbers we haven't shared or any growth projection hopes and things like that you want to throw out there, Taryn, our numbers gal,
that we haven't hit? I will say, in general, I've just kind of read some interesting studies lately showing that students who are given opportunities to either do an internship or complete a certificate program are 57% more likely to have that program influence their future career path. And it's 17% otherwise, like if they don't have access to that. So it shows that the work that we're doing is just really important. We are giving students those interactions early that help them decide, yes, I want to do this. No, I don't want to do this. Or they decide that they like working with their hands and they hadn't considered that before. I think it's just, in general, we're really focusing on those CTE numbers, the graduation numbers. We know that students who take a CTE course in high school tend to have higher graduation rates than just like regular courses. So there's just a bunch of numbers that we can put into why our program is important and how it's working. I think the thing that I'm most excited about is we're getting ready to do a social study on our organization. And so that will tell us all sorts of information, like what Project Bike Tech actually does for local communities, how it improves the health, the economy. It's very exciting what we're going to do. So we'll have so much information about what giving to Project Bike Tech actually supports beyond our classrooms pretty soon.
That's exciting. So you guys have a meeting coming up with Kids on Bikes coming up next, and you're meeting Daniel Bird over there. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, Daniel and I like to catch up. Okay. But, I mean, Daniel and Kids on Bikes is such an important nonprofit that works in Colorado Springs specifically. Very well connected with the schools. They have bike libraries all over the town, and for us, it's a really important place to really understand how other organizations are working and how we can collaborate with them or what we can learn from them. Most importantly, Daniel and I actually, and ironically, Taryn too, live within probably a 5-block radius of one another, and I like to catch up with Daniel and just see what's going on and share knowledge and everything else. We are really making an intentional push for more relationships like that, where we have a project bike tech school and we can create more, as Terrence said, like community level partnerships to where the school can really participate as a valuable part of the cycling community where they are. And that's a big important part of the relationship we have organizationally with Kids on Bikes. Mm-hmm. Personally, I just like Daniel.
And I like him too.
It's really nice to catch up and sit and have a cup of coffee.
And
with
it's another organization that we support at the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort because, I mean, it is spreading the joy of cycling to the next generation.
Yep.
And whatever we can do to support that, make our kids healthier, get them outside, you know, and growing into healthy adults and cyclists. I mean, it's great.
Yeah,
we live in one of the best communities in the world for cycling here, you know.
So
it's a great base camp for it.
So true. And I mean, when you think about youth and kids, the bike is such a transformational tool. It really helps kids on tons and tons of different levels become more independent, become more focused, you know, solve some health problems, contribute to a green energy solutions. Like there's so many like social and community trends that the bicycle helps with, and we feel like we can be an important small part of that, where, you know, we solve mechanical problems and we help encourage participation at a new level. So we really think that's collaborative, but the work that Kids on Bikes does is just amazing, and we'd love to see more of that around the country.
And more partnerships where, you know, let's just start asking everybody at the grocery store if they want to donate to Project Bike Tech.
Yeah.
When you check in. So in closing, I just want to know, what can my listeners do? How do they engage? Where do they go right now? What kind of are your biggest needs? How do you want my listeners to get involved?
Yeah, well, one of the easiest ways to get involved with Project Bike Tech is by going to bit.ly/givepbt26. And you can make a donation there. Donations are always helpful. They help us immediately address organizational needs, which looks like getting new schools on, helping schools continue to run, making sure that we have a supply of or all the supplies that we need to set a classroom up quickly, so we're not having to wait the 10 to 12 weeks that we usually do. All of those operations are supported by donations and by private giving. And so if you would like to make a gift, I would greatly appreciate that. If that is not in the cards for you, then please contact us at info@projectbiketech.org. And let's just brainstorm how we can either get a Project Bike Tech classroom into your community, or how we can work with you to best support the students that we do have.
Yeah, and I would echo that just we're on a pretty assertive national expansion track, and in some ways we're really exploring our international capabilities as well. We are not an international organization yet, but we want to be. All of the conversations that we can have with anybody interested in what we do are fantastic, and we love the chance to share a little bit more about who we are and what we do and what we can bring to a community.
That's exciting. Thank you guys so
much.
Thank
you, Tori.
I can't wait to see what we can achieve together this year, and we'll have a follow-up show and, you know,
that sounds great.
Talk about how we're doing, and, you know, any organizations out there that might be up for matching funds that are being donated, you know, or companies that want to step up, that check out whether your company might match your donations to the organization would be amazing. But thank you guys so much for being here.
Absolutely.
And thank you for watching the Pedals of Spring or listening to the Pedal of the Springs podcast. Pedal of the Springs podcast is brought to you by Studio 809 Podcast, the local voices of the Pikes Peak region. We podcast right out of the Next Us in downtown Colorado Springs. All of the websites and links that you heard and any topics we brought up in the show, check for them in the show notes, and see you next time.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.